Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Happy holidays. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. This is a show about what matters most in life: our minds, our thoughts, our feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. In this show, I'll bring you the latest research about me, how narcissism changes throughout life. Well, some people, and some people probably have it for the rest of their life, but we'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about it in research. And then I'll speak to Dr. Andrea Pennington. She's an integrative medicine physician, international speaker, and the author of I Love You, Me, and You Can Call Us on the Studio Line. Be sure to listen to my podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, and share it with your friends. Give me some reviews. Tell me what you want to talk about. I'd love to hear from you. This is the end of the year. Happy holidays, and we'll be right back with the tip of the week.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Don't miss out on the free KMET smartphone apps. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com. or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, the awareness path to create the life you want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian, Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Welcome back. The holiday times is the time of giving, being together. And from whatever culture or religion you are, I'm sure that these are the times that gives you an opportunity to say thank you to people who are around you and feel grateful that they are around you. Some of us do it with words. Some of us do it with words and cards. Some of us do it with giving gifts, with giving hugs, and spreading our love together. These are the time that reminds us that we are a community, we are family, and how we are together creates that type of a community. So when we are loving each other and moving forward, giving, act of kindness, these are the times that the community comes together and we don't feel alone and isolated. There are some people who their family are not here and they miss them. And if they're not, don't have a group of great friends around them, they will feel isolated and alone. And for all the other people who know someone who feels that way, please spread your hand, give them, call them, text them, let them know that you're there for them. Invite somebody who doesn't have their family around to your home and let them know that you are part of their family, part of their chosen family, so that people feel the essence of community. This is also the time that we give gifts to people who don't have in their world, they don't have all that they need. For children, the gifts of toys and love. Sometimes gifts mean love and sometimes just means that I'm here for you, that I care for you and I remember you. Sometimes it feels like I've been blessed with some things as far as monetary or blessings that I have and I want to share it. And these are the times that are a reminder to share it. One of the things that is most important for you to know is to also love yourself, to also give the gift of love to yourself and be there for yourself. And though that's important to know, because when you're not there first for you, it's going to be hard that you're going to be there for other people. So don't forget you while you're going to be there for everyone else. Happy holidays. We'll be right back with the latest research.
Fujian Zane is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fujian has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fujian.com. That's www.fujian.com.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Don't miss out on the free KMET smartphone apps. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the Awareness Integration Model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET 1490 AM.com.
latest research. For parents worried that their teenager's narcissism is out of control, there's hope. New research from Michigan State University conducted the longest study on narcissism to date, revealing how it changes over time. There's a narrative in our culture that generations are getting more and more narcissistic, but no one has ever looked at it throughout generations or how it varies from age at the same time. The research published in Psychology and Aging assessed a sample of nearly 750 people to see how narcissism changed from age 13 to 70, and the findings showed that qualities associated with narcissism, being full of yourself, sensitive to criticism, and imposing your opinion on others, decline over time with age. Some character traits, like having high aspirations for yourself, increased with age. There are things that happen in life that can shake people a little bit and force them to adapt their narcissistic qualities as you age. You form new relationships, have new experiences, start a family, and so on. All of these factors make someone realize that it's not all about them. And the older you get, the more you think about the world that you may leave behind. The greatest impetus for declining narcissism was landing your first job. One thing about narcissists is that they're not open to criticism. When life happens and you're forced to accept feedback, break up with someone, or have strategy or have tragedy strike, you might need to adjust to understanding that you are not as awesome as you thought. There is a sense in which narcissists start to realize that being the way they are isn't smart if they want to have friends or meaningful relationships. Researchers found that the fastest changing age group was young adults. They also found that the contrary to popular belief, changes in the level of narcissism are lifelong and changes don't stop at any certain age or stage in life. One of the most surprising findings was that also contrary to what many people think, individuals who were born earlier in the century started off with higher level of hypersensitivity or the type of narcissism where people are full of themselves, as well as willfulness, which is a tendency to impose opinions on others. There isn't much data on older generations, but now that baby boomers are aging into that phase of life, that's a huge part of the population that we need to be looking at. With these findings, the researchers hope that the public gains a greater understanding about the different types of narcissism, as well as new insight to the understudied older population. Also, if you're worried that someone is truly a narcissist, there's hope. It will change for a better as they get older. I'm not sure about that. I hear the concept of the research. I think that there's a difference between the narcissistic characteristics that people have. And I do agree that, you know, we're kind of like born in the narcissistic world because the world is about us at that moment. And, you know, our ego is not set. And as we grow and we open ourselves up to other people, with life coming back at us and giving us feedback, that our egos can go higher or they can go lower or they can break. And, you know, life issues will remind us that obviously we're great at some things and we're not great at some things. There are going to be people who are going to like us and there are ones that are not. And that there are other people that we need to care about. And it's this relationship between us and somewhere in here that makes us as who we are and makes us as the ego that we are. So, I think that definitely develops with age. And I do agree with that, that as we develop with age, those narcissistic characteristics hopefully fades away. But people with narcissistic personality disorders, they don't go away. And they're usually a lifetime, unless they decide to go and work on themselves and go to therapy and really, really work on themselves. If not, they will still stay in that cocoon concept. Well, why are we talking about self? Because I have an amazing guest who we're going to talk about, Dr. Andrea Pennington, who is the author of I Love You, Me, but not from a narcissistic place, from truly a loving and caring place of knowing who you are. And when you know who you are and how you love yourself, then you extend that love, not your ego, but extend that love to everyone else. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Dr. Andrea Pennington.
Dr. Fujian Zane is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fujian has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fujian.com. That's www.fujian.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the Awareness Integration Model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140 or go to www.fujian.com.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zane. I'm so excited to be with Dr. Andrea Pennington. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She's an integrative physician, acupuncturist, meditation teacher, and sex educator who has provided holistic health education to men and women over 17 years. She's very young, by the way. She's also a best-selling author, international keynote, and TEDx three-time speaker, and documentary filmmaker, which her new one is coming out, and sought-after media personality who has shared her empowering insights on vitality and resilience on The Oprah Winfrey Show, Dr. Oz, CNN, Today Show, and Discovery Health Channel, and many more. She's the founder of the Real Self Love Movement, and her latest book is titled The Real Self Love Handbook, a proven five-step process to liberate your authentic self and build resilience and live an epic life. Welcome to my show.
Woohoo!
How
Thank
are
you? Thank you so much. Oh, Fujian, it's always a pleasure to connect with you.
It is so sweet. I was just with you a couple of weeks ago and in New York with the American Meditating Radio, and it was a joy to be with you and getting your wisdom. You have this essence, Andrea, of just peace and love walking around with this beautiful smile.
Thank you.
So tell me about your book, The Real Self-Love. And I know we had another show together, which you actually talked about, Love, I Love You, Me. And that was such a great show. So tell us about this new book.
Well, this book is actually an expansion of I Love You, Me. What I noticed over the last year and a half is as I've been helping people reconnect to their authentic self, healing past trauma and that sort of thing, there are a list of exercises that I take people through. Actually, it's a 5-stage process, as you know. And along each of these phases, I take people through exercises and questionnaires. They have homework like journaling and things. And what came out of it was a realization that this book wasn't just about sharing my story. It became a handbook that people around the world were telling me has literally changed their lives. So I've updated the book with some expanded exercises, life writing, which is a process that I take people through, and added a few more little tidbits for 2020 and beyond.
That's wonderful. So, Andrea, what if we kind of take our audience at this point to a little bit of each of the phase so that they know what phases they can be looking forward to when they get your book and read it. So the first phase you talked about, the awareness, first get to know who you are. Yeah. So there's so many ways of, from a psychological perspective, from a spiritual perspective, humanistic perspective, that people talk about who you are and becoming aware of who you are. There's so many studies, as you know, so far coming about consciousness and different types of meditation styles to look at who you are. And then this distinction maybe about the person who I am as the ego, or the person who I am as a higher self, and so forth. So what are some of the ways to become aware? And then what are the distinctions between these?
That's a wonderful way to begin. The way I see it, and as we talked about in our last interview, I had a direct experience with what I consider to be my higher self. After that near-death experience, it really became clear to me personally the difference between my ego, which is just a construct, you know, this psychological construct. We all have one. They're created from childhood. The moment that we realize we're separate from mommy, this natural human process begins. We are socialized and we develop a social mask or an ego. But when you start to recognize that there's something beyond what you see in the mirror, there's actually a you that is more than what is printed on your resume. You, the real you, are more than your ethnicity, your gender, your roles. And so in this book and in this process, I'm outlining exercises to help you have a direct experience with your essential self, your authentic self. So beginning in the very first phase, in the awareness phase, we make the distinction between who were you programmed to be. So you identify your ego, which sounds obvious, but a lot of people have been so used to being a certain way based on their upbringing or how their family kind of coerced them, or religion or society, that they think that that is them.
Right.
And so we make the distinction first by looking at how were you programmed? What sort of things did you pick up along the way? And then
so in that way, what I'm hearing from you is they, what we learn from our society and our parents and our peers and in school, we create certain type of belief systems and ways of operating within that society. And then assumably we think that's who we are. So the roles and the ego structure and the way that we have learned how to survive in the society in order to be part of the herd appears to us in that's who I am. So that type of identity that we got create for ourselves, it appears that that's who we are. And you are suggesting, well, yeah, but there's also this other side, which is the real us.
Exactly. And that ego self, that self with a small s, if you will, for many people, just as you described, we have adapted we have become shaped into this particular ego personality to survive. And for some people, I'm talking about true basic survival, meaning if they grew up in an abusive household or a household with extreme poverty, they may have had to adapt their personality just to survive childhood. But the challenge comes that when we get to adulthood and we start to realize we're not quite living up to our potential, or we have certain patterns that we had to adopt to keep us safe that are now getting us into trouble or now preventing us from living a fulfilling life. And so what I help people to do is to recognize that before you were programmed, there was sort of an original source code, like I like to call it, meaning your soul print or an essence of the real you. And these are the things that you are naturally born with, naturally gifted with. And so from the positive psychology world, we use a couple of very standard approaches. One of them is a questionnaire called Values in Action, which can help you tune into the character traits that are really you, that are not necessarily shaped by experience or your parental influence, but the things that are like intrinsically you and they make you uniquely you. And the reason I like that particular one is because people can see in black and white these character strengths, these signature strengths, and they realize, wow, yeah, that's me. Yep, that's me. That's me. And that sort of gives them a sense of confidence to validate that who they thought they were all along is really showing up, you know, in a well-respected and validated questionnaire. And one of the other things we do in stage one around this concept of self-awareness is a little bit of life writing. I ask people to write about a peak experience in your life, a time when you felt completely blissful, where you may have forgotten your lower self and you felt like your best self, or you felt completely at one with a task or with the universe. We call that the flow state. And it gives us little hints and clues about aspects of you that are more than just the ego. So there are a few other things that we do in phase one to help you create that distinction between what is intrinsically you and what is just the programmed version of you. And that's important because if you have been shaped by painful experiences and you're really ready to finally put them behind you and get to that phase of forgiveness, some people are like, okay, well, if I'm not all those past reactions, if I'm no longer this codependent, who am I? And that's what this first phase helps you identify.
And it's so important to create that. I totally get that because I've been through traumas, and I know that coming out and looking at who I really am beside the effects of the trauma that have been created in my life or I've experienced in my life, there is an empowerment that gets created. And it's, you know, with all the trauma and issues that you create, your essence becomes an anxious essence. Mm. And then when you kind of let go of you only identifying with that way of survival anxiety, then the part that is your essence, which it's given, it's set, it has such a calm and peaceful experience when you are yourself, yeah, versus the only adapted one that you've created to survive. So I've really experienced the difference between a being of anxiety versus a being of just calm and love and peace. Mm. And it really shows up when you distinguish between the two. And then as you go, and as we look at that, then you suggest now is time for you to accept.
Exactly.
You and all parts of you. Share
exactly
with us.
So as we went through that phase of awareness and you're really looking at different parts of your life, there's an exercise where you create a life timeline of events, because many of my clients have forgotten things that happened in their past that shaped them, whether good or bad. And when you can sort of look at it objectively, you can start to recognize that, yes, sometimes our parents made horrible mistakes, but they did the best they could with their development and where they were. And most of my clients get to a point where they recognize, okay, I can't keep blaming the past, right, or even, you know, the government or whatever. I've got, right, to take responsibility. But before you can take responsibility, you've got to accept who you are, accept that the past is the past. It happened. It's not excusing anything horrible that happened, but it's accepting that that's done, and now I'm reclaiming who I really am. And so through the acceptance phase, I offer some forgiveness meditations and some other guided work that really help you get in touch with that tender part that you just described, that essence that is in touch with love, that essence that doesn't any longer have to hide or protect itself. And when you can accept that at my core, I am peace. At my core, I am lovable. Mm-hmm. At my core, I'm a good person and I've got the power to do good things in the world. Right. When you can get to that acceptance point and really let it sink in, then you're ready to move on to stage three, which is about accountability.
Right. I love this part of not only the acceptance, but I think that there is this confusion sometimes about, okay, you know, I can accept myself in everything I do. And then sometimes I've heard people give themselves the right and the entitlement now that acceptance means I have the carte blanche to do whatever it is that I want. And yes, but you know, there's also impact with whatever it is that you want. And if we're not accountable to that, then we can create a lot of messes. So it's a beautiful, I really enjoy this concept of accountability and being in tune with how we impact with every single kind of like thought, emotions, behaviors that we have. Share with us what your experience of that is and how come you put the accountability right after acceptance?
Well, it is exactly as you describe. There's karma. Mm-hmm. So whether we like what happened in the past or not, accountability is not like this heavy burden of responsibility. It's this recognition that at this point, no matter what happened in the past, whether people were right or wrong, I'm in control of my life. I am the author of my life story. And so by holding myself accountable, rather than, as you described, this sort of carte blanche to just do whatever, yes, you do have that, but now you're recognizing that every choice I make is going to impact my present and my future. And because in the first chapter we got in tune with our values and the vision that we want to create for our lives, in this accountability phase, we're really saying, okay, if I want my future to be amazing, what do I have to do to put in place? Right down to, you know, what is my lifestyle? What are the things I have to change? Are there even maybe relationships that I've got to exit so that I can no longer put the blame outside into the outside world, but I take full responsibility for this beautiful life that I am the lucky steward of. So I offer in that chapter ways that you can start to track your progress. Because for many people, if they have been, say, in a codependent situation where they were just shoved down in relationships or taught to silence their own voice and desires, sometimes it takes practice to do that and to feel safe and comfortable. You know, just because you have a personal experience of, wait, I have a voice and I matter. I am love and I deserve to be loved. It takes a little bit of practice to train your brain and your ego that it's safe to step up, speak up, set boundaries. And so we offer certain steps that you can take so that you can practice it and get feedback from the world, prove to your ego that you're not going to die or be totally rejected, you know, from the herd. So that's what this accountability phase does for people.
Something that showed up for me as you were talking, also, I think that we fall into other people's game. And I think if we recognize what part of this is my thoughts and actions and karma and producing and things that I'm doing, in some parts of it, how is it that I'm getting involved in everybody else's game? Mm-hmm. And when you said like recognizing that, where is it that I am in a relationship in any type, whether it's work related, you know, intimate friendships or whatever, that I am in relationships which I'm playing into somebody else's game. And that also creates a lot of issues for me. And sometimes it's important to be able to recognize that and be aware or even leave that type of a relationship, or at least that type of a game within that relationship. And that came up for me as you were talking around the accountability too, because I've seen myself And I've seen other people where they get sucked in into another person's, let's say, anger or drama or ways of handling life or abuse, being abused or abused. So getting to know your real self, you can maybe also create that type of an accountability where this isn't me. Like, this is not something that is true to who I am. And why am I playing in this field with this game of this person while I should be taking my attention, focus, and energy somewhere else in my life and play a game that it really fulfills me and brings the best of me where I can be there for others.
Exactly. Beautifully said.
Thank you. And then from there you go to
inspired actions.
Inspiring actions, yes.
Yes, because again, going back to my clinical practice, for the very first several years that I was in a medical practice, I had a wellness center where we treated people with anxiety, depression, obesity, eating disorders, and addiction. And while all of those have their own causes, conditions, and constellation of symptoms, I noticed a common thread. And one of them was, as you know, when we're stressed out or when we're just completely maxed out with our schedule, we go into autopilot.
Yes.
We just go, whatever is stored in the back of our brain, whatever we've been programmed to do, however we've been programmed to react to stress, however we eat when we're under pressure or emotional, that's what comes up. And autopilot is great as a survival mechanism in the short term, but it's not great for the whole of your life, because it actually puts a drain on the immune system. It creates the perfect storm for us to develop diseases. And so inspired action is inviting us to stop, reflect on what your values are, what the vision for your life is, and what are the actions you need to take that will help you create that amazing life, rather than going on that reaction or that programming. And it's really all about mindfulness. It's also an invitation for you to engage in meditation, for example, and tune in and ask for guidance. And I ask my clients to, at least for a period of time, go through a little challenge. And that is, don't take any action unless it's inspired action. And I mean that in certain circumstances. You're not going to just stand there, stopped in the middle of the grocery store and like, what am I inspired to buy? But I mean, if you're dealing with a situation at work, or you're raising a rebellious teenager, or you're in an intimate relationship or a work relationship that's getting a little contentious, it's very easy when we're dealing with these kind of stressors or pressures to just try to react and try to go into solutions mode. But I'm inviting people to pause and reflect on, what is the inspired action here? What is the action that I can take that will lead to the best result for not only myself, but for everyone involved, that lines up with this vision of the real me or the vision of the ideal version of me that I want to become? And if you're willing to go through that kind of a challenge for a week or a month, you'll find that you have an ability to tune into your own intuition, your own heart, or your essential self that really knows the best way forward. Or if you engage in meditation, you can tune in to higher wisdom, where whatever you call that force that is outside of us that sort of knows all, it can guide us. It can give you, even in the midst of a heated conversation, just the right thing to do or say, or to say nothing at all. Because sometimes no action is the inspired action that we need to take. So it's an invitation, it's a little bit of a challenge, but for people who are learning to embody their essential self, their authentic self, this is a critical point towards really living an epic life.
Let me ask you this. I think there's a distinction in the quality of the voice, the message, that shows up as the inspiration, which guides you to do the inspired action, versus the one that shows up from the anxious ego, or the part that at that point is going into a survival or trying to win or dominate or, you know, do any of that. There's a difference in that quality. Can you share what your experience of the inspired voice or the message is for people?
Well, this is a topic that you and I have talked about before, right? I get visions. Mm-hmm. I hear voices. No, I'm not schizophrenic. But I do, for me, it'll be like this very clear voice or just a deep, clear knowing. Meaning it's almost like, not like a lightning flash as in it just jars me, but as a sharp delineation of clarity and truth. So, for example, I could be doing something and I might hear a word that just indicates this is the next step to take, for example. Or as I'm doing meditation, I'll get a vision. I will literally see visions that correspond to a project that I'm working on with a client or a film. And for me, there's a feeling associated with it. So the way I distinguish between just the anxious mind trying to come up with solutions for a problem and what I consider my core self or divine guidance is the feeling that comes with it, there's like no doubt when it happens. Now, sure. If I sit with it for a while, I can go into doubt. My ego can come in and be like, oh my gosh, are you sure? Is it true? Is it real? How do you know? That's not logical. But from the moment that I first feel it, there is this, it's almost like a bubble of clarity. It's like, this is perfectly right. Mm-hmm. There is no doubt. Mm-hmm. And the reason I invite people to do these various challenges is because sometimes we've doubted our own intuition, our own inner voice for so long that we've lost connection with it. We don't hear it and we don't trust it. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to probably take many people a little bit of time to find that, but, that's what it is for me.
For me, it's also, like you said, it's a deep knowing, and it shows up that way. The funny part of it is it has really saved me from double booking and even my calendar. It's funny because I'm telling you, it's like there are times that I have done something, like I put somebody in and I forgot that somebody else I had promised. Out of the blue, suddenly this knowing shows up as the person's voice or the person's face or the other person's name keeps popping up as if, you know, you got to do something. You got to do something. Mm-hmm. And then it shows up for me. And it's funny how many times I've said, somebody is really working on my calendar and I love this. So that's also like when you're talking about inspired action, it's like, that's even beside the point of, you know, looking at the vision of tomorrow and all of that. So it's interesting that even on the daily mundane concepts, how much I'm being saved by this essence of voice, which I can't really say it's my own mind, because at that time I'm not paying attention or, you know, those are not coming up. So it's interesting. I'm also not, you know, delusional at this point. I keep checking reality. Actually, I keep checking reality with Andrea. Like, Andrea, am I out of it or not? And the fifth phase is appreciation, gratitude.
Yes.
And we have that a lot also in positive psychology. It seems like the concept of gratitude.
Exactly.
And it's sweet.
It is sweet, right? Mm-hmm. And when we can focus on it, and when we actually choose, not just gratitude because someone did something nice or said something nice, but when we, from our own core, decide to live in this attitude of gratitude or appreciation, it shifts everything. And you know I'm a nerd. The thing that I kind of love about it is that now we're having studies, like clinical studies that show that when we tune into positive emotion, it changes our brains. Yes. So even people who used to be the glass half full kind of people, or the grumpy people, or the pessimists, the more that we tune into positive emotions like gratitude or awe or appreciation, we can literally impact our brains. And that tends to make us appreciate and notice even more good things in our world or in our environment. And the more that we do that, that is tuning into what you described earlier, that core essence part of us that is tuned into love. When we're in appreciation for what's going on in our world, we feel more love. And so each of these five phases is gradually helping you to develop more self-love, but for the authentic self. And then you start to radiate that to other people.
I remember when we were a couple of weeks ago at the Peace Village, one of the sentences that really sat with me to kind of like be an anchor constantly for me was this sentence of see only beauty and speak only love. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because since then, I'm really conscious of just like came back after all of these trips to my home, and I keep going around them. Oh, I love my home. Oh, I love this. Oh, this looks beautiful. And you know, it's so much difference when I experience this versus coming to what I created, which is my home, and take it for granted of, yeah, that's the couch, and yeah, I did it. Oh, okay, fine. Versus this newness of an awe experience of everything. Ooh, look at this. Ooh, look at that. And this way of being, it just kind of like holds me in the space of happiness all the time. And it's like, you know, getting the juice all the time. You recreate this concept within yourself when you, and it's different from like, ooh, I did it. It's not that. It's more like the appreciation of not only who I am, but everyone around me who is also a part of this creation, and yes, everything that is around that, you know, has been created and manifested and in a tangible level, it's all in front of me, and all the people who are part of this. And I think that concept of togetherness and the appreciation of this way of being and the unity just makes us happier people.
Yes. And it makes people want to be around us when we're that way. Yeah. So, and again, that feeds back into the ego, which previously worried, oh, if I'm my authentic self, people might reject me. But now when you get into this new space, you realize, wow, I'm just living in appreciation and beaming love, and people are accepting me. And this gives that feedback loop to the lower self to say, it's safe. This is actually working. Being your authentic self is good for you and the rest of the world. It makes us attractive. It makes us so much more compassionate to others and to ourselves as well.
And most probably allow us to come up with solutions for issues that show up, the problems that come in our everyday life. When we come from the space versus the anxiety part, which fogs us, and we cannot actually create the best solutions while we keep ourselves constantly in this peaceful place, that's what we do. We are able to create better and better solutions. So the book is The Real Self-Love Handbook, a proven 5-step process to liberate your authentic self and build resilience and live an epic life. And we spoke about awareness, acceptance, accountability, inspired action, and appreciation. Where can everybody get your books and everything that you have? You've written so many books and all of them are great. Where can they go?
Well, you can get the book anywhere that you love to buy books, Amazon or Barnes & Noble, online, anywhere. And if you'd like to get free resources like the guided meditations, the Real Self-Love Manifesto, and some live masterclasses that I and some other Real Self-Love leaders are teaching, you can visit realself.love and sign up totally for free and get access to all of that instantly and download it.
Oh, realself.love.
Yes.
Not .com, but .love.
Yes.
How cool is that?
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. I had no idea that even exists. That's awesome.
Realself.love.
Realself.love. Well, it was so nice to have you again on my show. It's always inspiring to hear your experiences. And I learned so much from you, because a lot of times when we are together in spaces, we're also kind of like working on different things. So this part that I get to actually hear your wisdom a lot of times also shows up in these interviews. So let's interview all the times. So
yes.
Gaining more and more from you. Thank you with all that you do. And I know your documentary film is also coming up, and I'm excited about that. And just more and more good news are going to come Dr. Andrea Pennington. We're going to keep hearing her voice and hopefully her face all over the world soon. So it's so nice to be your friend.
It's wonderful to have this connection, and I'm so excited to be a part of your world as well. So thank you.
Absolutely. For everyone who's out there, create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. And until next week, bye-bye.